talk in Jagannath Puri. The following is an informal talk given to a gathering in Jagannath Puri by Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata, the 82-year-old founder of Arunachala Ashrama, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center in New York and Nova Scotia. Arthur Kukovitis, who accompanied Bhagavata on a pilgrimage to India last year, recorded and transcribed this address given on 1st of July 1994. When the land became filled with the dense darkness of dubiousness and doubts, dissension, debates and dialectics, Sri Bhagavan took pity on the land and then he appeared. Sri Arunachaleshwara Shiva picked up a 16-year-old boy in Madurai named Venkatraman and gave him the death experience in July 1896. The boy thought he was going to die, but only the body was going to die. The body will be cremated, but the I is eternal. It remains. He became a self-realized boy. Soon after, one Saturday morning, 29th of August, 1896, he wrote a letter for his brother, took 3 rupees and went to the Madurai railroad station to catch the train. He was late. Fortunately, the noon train was also late. He bought the ticket and got on the train in Viluppuram Junction near Madras. He got down. He went to the town, stood before a hotel and looked. Food was not ready at the hotel. The hotel owner saw him. He served him food at noon. The boy tried to pay him 2 or 3 annas. The hotel owner was touched by the youth's face or appearance, his innocence or simplicity, his approach and attitude. He refused payment. Venkatraman walked and walked on the railroad track. Somewhere he came during the night to a temple. He stayed. He saw the Arunachala mountain shining 20 miles away in Tiruvannamalai. He was hungry. He was tired. The priest, the temple worshipper, wouldn't serve him food. The priest crossed the river and went to another temple to do the worship. The boy followed him. The temple drummer took pity on him and gave him his share of food. He ate and, while walking, fell down. He was tired. In the morning, he got up, approached a door of a house. It was Lord Krishna's birthday. The lady thought Sri Krishna had appeared. She fed the boy. The boy was wearing gold earrings. He mortgaged both gold earrings with the man of the house. The man wrote down his name and address so the boy could redeem the earrings later. Venkatraman took the change and went to the railway station on the night of Monday, 31st of August, 1896. Early Tuesday morning, 1st of September, 1896, he arrived at the Tiruvannamalai railway station. He was not walking. He was not thinking. He was being blown like a dry leaf in heavy wind, typhoon or tempest, whatever you may call it. He approached the great temple early in the morning. The whole town, the whole world was asleep. He found the gates unexpectedly open. He walked in. He went to the Sanctum Sanctorum of the Lord Arunachaleshwara. Even the doors there, unattended, were open. He went, presented himself. At thy command, O my father, I have come. On that day, the boy threw away all his clothes except the loincloth. The money, the earring slip, everything he threw in a tank. The barber saw him. "Hey, hey, boy, you want to be shaved? Come on." His head was shaved. After the shave, and while walking back into the temple, a heavy rain came down. So, in this way, he bathed and was washed. From then on, for 2 years, he remained in the Arunachaleshwara temple, in the underground Patala Lingam, or in other solitary places outside the temple. Children threw stones at him. His body became the home of insects, blood, pus, and other things. Then someone picked him up from the underground cellar, began to look after him, began to serve him the prasad, the milk that was offered to the Lord. He became known as the Brahmana Swami. His father, Sundaramaya, was a very famous lawyer in Tiruchuri, which is about 30 miles from Madurai. He was known as a pious lawyer, even when the robbers and thieves would see him riding in his bullock cart. They would leave him alone. His wife, Aragamal, kept her home open for all people, providing food and shelter. Sundaramaya passed away in 1892 while Venkatraman was still a student. For 2 or 3 years after Brahmana Swami came to Arunachala, his mother did not know where he was. Then some visitor from Madurai saw him talking, discoursing, teaching Vedanta, Bhagavad Gita. He said, "Oh, this boy, he is just a boy, and he is talking so high, so deep." Without the least hesitation, he reported the good news to his mother. The mother came, wept, entreated, and wept, "Come back." Maintaining silence, he refused. Someone nearby, watching the scene, was moved and requested the Brahmana Swami to at least say something to mother. He wrote, "The Lord controls the whole thing." He soon moved on to the Arunachala mountain. This is the oldest mountain, I cannot say, in the whole world, in India. Very old. Scientists and others have tried to examine its stone and have come back declaring it very old. This mountain is Lord Shiva himself appearing so that people can worship him and abide in him. Around that area, there was a Ganapati, a Ganesha named Kavyakanta Ganapati Muni. As a 5-year-old boy, his father named him Ganapati. He became a treasure house of the Vedas, the Upanishads, and other Sanskrit literature. And Sanskrit poetry was on the tip of his tongue. He had done plenty, plenty, plenty of mantras, japa, tyaga, tapasya. Still, he was discontented, not at peace. He had met Brahmana Swami on the southern slopes of Sri Arunachala. One day, he was assailed by pains, troubles, doubts. He remembered that Brahmana Swami was on the hill, and at midday, a little afternoon, he climbed and found Brahmana Swami sitting outside alone. He prostrated and said, "All the scriptures that have to be read, I have read. All the mantras and japa that have to be done, I have done. Still, I have no peace. Please save me." The Brahmana Swami took a little time. For at least 15 minutes, he silently gazed at him. Then, in Tamil, he spoke. The English translation is simple. "If one watches whence the notion I arises, the mind is absorbed in that. That is tapas. When you recite a mantra, watch where the sound is coming from within you. When you sing a song or prayer, watch where it is emanating from, your heart. Put your attention on that. That is tyaga. That is tapasya. That is all. All his doubts and delusions were washed away that day. From the attendant, Ganapati Muni inquired about the Swami's former name, Venkatraman. He cut out Venkata, added Maharishi, and thus renamed him Sri Ramana Maharishi or Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi. Sri Bhagavan's teaching is simple. Ask, who am I? My kaun hu? Put your attention on that. In whatever land, whatever name, to whatever clime, club, caste, creed you belong, there is something within you. When you speak, you breathe, you talk, you think. That comes from the heart, the spiritual heart on the right side. Do your duty, do your work, but put your attention on that. It is said that when the forests of darkness covered the land, Adi Shankara, Bhagavan Sri Shankaracharya, was born to lift India from that grave of darkness. And so, in the 19th century, Lord Arunachaleshwara brought Sri Bhagavan Ramana into the world to teach. Not by preaching, not by talking, simply by sitting calm and quiet. He welcomed people, he did talk to them, removed their doubts. People, for whatever reasons, from whatever levels, came to him. He gave to all. Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi emphasized, take one name. Whatever name you take, concentrate on that. Whatever form of God you worship, God will appear to you in that form. What more? You don't have to retire to the forest or renounce your work. Out of the 700 verses Lord Sri Krishna gave the world through Arjuna, Sri Bhagavan has given me this. Hey Arjuna, what? Wake up, march, move, don't sit idle. What to do? Tasmat sarvesu kalesu mam anusmara yudhya cha. So, at all times, remembering me, march on, work on, move on. There is no time to spare. That is the whole meaning, the gist of the Bhagavad Gita. There is no time to sit idle, to cry, to waste time. That is it. So, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi came to remind mankind to wake up. Sir, we are in Sri Jagannathji Puri, the holy city where that Englishman lived, who showered light, plenty of light on India, who has written books on India, on Bharata Shakti, Bharata Dharma, on Tantra, the Tantra which had become a black magic, a black discipline. He worked as a Chief Justice of the Calcutta High Court during the British rule, but in his private life, he quietly studied and translated the ancient text on Tantra, Mother Worship, a path he himself devoutly followed. And all Indians should be very proud and feel very fortunate to read his writings. He travelled all over Europe and England. The Britons resented him and tried to prevent him from talking about the heights of spiritual life in India. And here he was, Sir John Woodruff, in Sri Jagannath Puri. He declared, India is the heart of the world. Look at the map, he said. India is the heart. India is the spiritual center. The whole world has branched out, but this is the root, this is the center from which it grows. Why say so? So many inventions came. They cut down people trees. They demolished temples and other structures. But Sanatana Dharma is like the grass we call dhul. No typhoon, no tempest can wash it away. It is stuck to the ground. It remains like the faith. In India, it remains stuck that way with people, with the villagers, with all. Then the incarnation of Gandhiji came to liberate India from foreign rule. Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi said on the death of Gandhiji, "You know, when the time came, Lord Rama was reminded, 'Now, sir, your mission is up. You should return.' The same happened with Sri Krishna. So also with Gandhiji. The time came and he was born for the liberation of India. And also the time came when there was no more purpose, no meaning for him to be in the body. Then the Lord called him back to his place. That is the story about my father. I am now already 81 years old. I remember my mother used to talk in my childhood of how the pilgrims would come walking to Sri Jagannathji on foot from my home in Bihar. Once they were returning home to Bihar when my father suffered from diarrhea and fell down. Mother used to say that the large vultures would fly around those pilgrims who fell down, and even if they were still alive, they would pounce on them and eat them up. I remember hearing this from my mother very clearly in my childhood. She told me my father fell unconscious, but the Divine Mother slapped him. In Hindi, we say, "He tapar mara." He fell down unconscious, but the Mother brought him back, gave him energy, and he rejoined his fellow pilgrims. That is how he was returned to us in Bihar. She also used to say, "Jagannathji brought him back." Recently, I read a children's book to my grandchildren. Saraswati is 10 years old. The other girl is named Parvati. She is 6.5 years old. The third is a boy, Sri Ramachandraji. He is 3.5 years old. From the age of one, he would sit with us in the shrine with his eyes closed. He never looks to me like a child or a boy. Although these three are in America, they hear stories of the Mahabharata. They always talk and ask questions. They will ask many questions of me when I return. So this visit to Sri Jagannathji is not a tour for us. He pulled us here from New York. Without knowing anything, we came. Jagannathji is not a stone or a statue for me. People go on thinking very much and talk about God. In a simple way, I say, "What? Are you dead? You are talking about God? What makes you talk? What makes you think? Where does that power come from?" In a simple way, not in an angry way, do I say this? Sri Bhagavan says, "Ajnanascha ashradhanascha samshyatma vineshati." The ignorant man without faith goes to destruction. Shraddha, faith. So it is Sri Jagannathji who has brought us here. We never speak much. We are not used to talking. My friends say that it is very difficult to make me talk. But they also say it is very difficult to stop me from talking once I start. No storm, no hurricane, can stop me. East or west, north or south, it does not matter. What goes on in all directions, I continue. Done.